Fusion, so good to be with you tonight. My name is Bo. So glad that you guys are all here tonight. It is a good night to be at Fusion. Who got some coffee out in the courtyard before service? Yeah, we're going to be, I think coffee's a good idea before church too. You know, we serve it at the cafe, and we want you to go to the cafe after service, grab a cup of coffee, share a meal with some friends. But coffee before church is good too. The preacher likes when you guys have coffee before church because it keeps you guys awake a little bit. I think we might try to keep some coffee going for you. Hey, I want to share an exciting update. There's an incredible momentum on Christian Assembly Church right now and on Fusion and on what God is doing in this church as a whole. And we love when there's just a sense of momentum. You know, momentum can be a little tricky, though, because momentum makes you think you're better than you are when you have it, and it makes you think you're worse than you are when you don't have it. But when great things are happening, we just want to recognize and say, God, you are up to something special in this place. Over the last 8 days at Christian Assembly, there have been a total of 253 people who have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, whether it's a first time or a recommit. Yeah, we can applaud that. 253 people. Whether that is in one of our weekend services or with student ministries, in life groups and conversations, 253 people said yes to Jesus either for the first time or recommitting their lives to Jesus in the last 8 days at this church. Who's glad to be a part of a church where God is doing something in this place? Absolutely. If you're one of those people who recently made one of those commitments, I just want to say well done. I'm so excited for you. I just want to echo what Doug said about telling your story. Let somebody know that you committed your life to Jesus. We want to walk with you. If you want a pastor to meet with you, talk about what does this mean now to follow Jesus, we want to follow up with you and talk with you, show you what does it mean for us to follow Jesus together. But well done. We are so proud of all of you for making that decision. Before we get into our message, I just want to quickly say, Friday night was absolutely incredible. We had our vision night in the church park. I want to give a shout out to everybody who came to Vision Night last Friday. It was just so good. And at this Vision Night, we talked about this vision. We shared this vision of Fusion being a place where young adults of Los Angeles can come and find their people and find their purpose. And what we find is that nearly all young adults are really asking two main questions. Who are my friends? Who are my people in my life? Who can really know me? And who can I trust? And then, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Why am I in Los Angeles now? What's my purpose for being here? And we think that Jesus cares about young adults in Los Angeles. And we think that Jesus wants his church to help young adults find answers to those questions. So we talked about Fusion being a place where young adults can come and they can find their people, they can find their friends. And when I say find your people, we're not talking about people who look exactly like you, people who think exactly like you. Because from the beginning, Jesus has been gathering people who have no earthly business being together, no cultural business being together, and saying, you are now each other's people because you are my people. And so we want young adults to come and be able to find their friends, to find their people here. And then we want people, young adults, to come and be able to step into the God purpose that he has for their lives. We believe that discovering your purpose is a daily thing. I said this on Friday. I think purpose is more often uncovered than parachuted in from heaven. Purpose is discovered when we start saying the small yeses to Jesus. And so we want to be a place where young adults can come and say their small yeses. I just want to say, for some people in this room, your next yes, your next small yes to Jesus is joining InterVarsity and mentoring college students. That could be your next step. That could be your next yes. That could be a step you can take to step into the God purpose that he has for your life. So we talked about if you're a part of the Fusion community, here's what we're going to ask. We want you to own this vision. Say, yes, I am a part of a Jesus-centered community that helps young adults find their people and find their purpose. So own this vision. Share this vision. Tell the story. How did you find your people at Fusion? How are you discovering your purpose here at Fusion? And then we want you to live this vision. What's your next yes you need to make for following Jesus? So we're excited. We have some stickers printed up. They're at the new people's table. If you want to grab a Find Your People, Find Your Purpose sticker, grab one, throw it on your water bottle, throw it on your journal. I heard somebody say they're going to put it on their car. That's bold. Mine's going on my water bottle. But hey, you put your sticker wherever you guys want to. of a place that's yours. Don't put on other people's stuff. That's kind of rude. But we're excited about what God's doing in this community in this season. Hey, we're going to continue now in our series, Anxious for Nothing. Grab your bulletin, which hopefully you got on your way. And we have been in this absolutely incredible series called Anxious for Nothing, where we're talking about finding calm in a chaotic world. And anxiety is something that so many of us in this room, not just people out there, but us in this room live with anxiety every single day. And we want to find out, what does God's word have to say about the anxiety that seeks to distract us and destroy us in our lives? Our theme verses for this series are Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 say, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, I love these verses. But this translation that we just read, the New King James, it's great. I love the New King James. I read it a lot. But sometimes it uses words that we don't use very often in our daily life, right? Like it says, supplication. When was the last time you supplicated? Are you supplicating right now? Are you going to supplicate later? Are you a bunch of supplicators in here? Like, if you're supplicating and you're supplicating, you guys want to get together and, like, supplicate, like, at dinner later? Or, like, I don't even, how often do we even use that word, supplicate? Or it says, you know, it says the word Thanksgiving in there. And whenever I think about Thanksgiving, I think about turkey, mashed potatoes, and my Dallas Cowboys. Like that's what I think about when I think about Thanksgiving. By the way, it's so much more fun to preach at Fusion on the day when the Cowboys win. It's like, got the Longhorns won yesterday, Cowboys won today. Listen, favor ain't fair, but thanks for being happy for me today, okay, Fusion? I love how the New Living Translation states this verse. You know, the New Living Translation, it's one of my favorite translations, and it's incredibly accurate to the original text, but it uses words and language that kind of fit how we speak most often today. And it says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And what Paul lays out here is a common pattern that you'll find in many places of Paul's writing, where he says, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and then thank him for what he's done. Pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for what he's done. And tonight we're going to talk about how this pattern and how to be anxious for nothing. If we are going to be anxious for nothing, we need to remember that our Heavenly Father, he wants us to ask him for help. Let's pray together. So God, we ask that you would speak tonight. Jesus, we just recognize the way you're already moving in this place. Lord, I thank you for the way your presence is just so near to us, even during worship, Lord. As we were declaring your praises, as we were remembering who you are, as we were speaking truth about you, Lord, just even the sense of anxiety leaving during that time, I say thank you for how you're already moving. And Lord, we ask now that you would continue to speak. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive and that it is active, and that when we read it and we apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So change us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In this series, Anxious for Nothing, we're following an acronym of the word CALM, C-A-L-M. And C stands for celebrate God's goodness, and A is to ask for God's help, and L is to leave your concerns with God, and M is to meditate on good things. And as we come to the A in CALM, ask for God's help, this tends to be one of the easiest things for me to skip over in my life, especially when it comes to anxiety that I feel, because I'm like, yeah, ask for God's help. Yes, I get it. Believe me, I've asked for God's help. Can we get on to something a little more tangible, something a little more practical for my life? But we can't skip over this. We can't breeze past this. This is something Paul, he instructs us to do continually. And there needs to be something for us to learn about asking God for help in all areas of our lives, but especially when it comes to anxiety. Paul's instructions to us here, they remind me a lot of parenting. Now, I know many in this room, you do not have kids yet, and there's a good chance, though, that many of you will have children someday. But how Paul teaches us to be anxious for nothing, it reminds me a lot of the very first lessons that we teach children. Blake and I, like most parents, we insisted on a couple of primary things for our kids to learn right away, as quick as we can possibly teach them. One is who we are. The next is how to ask for things. And the third is how to say thank you. Every parent, for all of history, has been committed to as early as possible teaching their children who they are. And it looks like moms and dads standing over little infant babies and saying the same word over and over and over again. Say dada, right? We've all seen parents do this. It's like, they don't know what you're saying. No, say dada, say dada, say dada. He said it, say dada. The mom comes over, she's like, no, he didn't. No, say mama. Say mama. And it becomes like a competition, right, on whose name is this kid gonna say first. It's like a race. But why? Why is it so important that kids from an early age recognize who their parents are? Well, I think it's because we want our kids from an early age to recognize that we are the ones who are going to be providing for you in your life. We are the ones who are going to be protecting you in your life. We're going to be the ones who are teaching you and disciplining you, literally teaching you how to live and survive in this world. We're going to be the ones showing them what love is. We're going to be the authorities in this young person's life. And ultimately, what we're wanting them to learn from an early age is we are the ones you can count on. You can depend on mama. You can depend on dada. And then, after that, we begin to teach them how to request things. And for most often, at least for us, some sign language was involved in this. I don't know any sign language except for the very basics of more, right? Food, please, right? I know this. I learned this. Austin really taught me this. More. I can still see Austin, avocado all over her face. Say more food, please. Why? Why do we teach them this early on? Why do we teach them this instead of just letting them for years and years go on grunting and pointing at things? It's because we want our kids to know that it's okay to ask us for things. Listen, I'm not mad when my kids ask me for something that they need. I want them to ask me for something that they need. I never want my kids to go without, especially because they were too afraid or didn't know how to ask me for the thing that they were needing at that time. They need to feel welcomed and excited to ask their parents for what they need. And finally, at least in our house, we make sure that the words thank you are a consistent part of our kids' vocabulary. Why? Because I am convinced gratitude will take you far in life. I think gratitude changes hearts. There is nothing more encouraging to me than when somebody who's been around my kids, it happens sometimes with people who work in kids' church, they'll come up to me and they'll say, I just gotta say, like, your kid says thank you all the time. We just gave him a little cup of Cheerios and she said, thank you for these Cheerios. It's so encouraging to me. I want my kids to be grateful and to say thank you for the things that they receive, because ultimately there's gonna be a day when they realize all of this really came from God anyways. And we wanna have a heart of gratitude before God. Now, what does parenting babies and Paul's call for us to be anxious for nothing have to do with each other? Well, first he says, pray about everything. I am convinced we will only really pray when we remember and believe who God is. I think prayer reminds us of who God is. Prayer helps us to understand who God is more. We have spent the last 2 weeks talking about who God is as we celebrated God's goodness in both his sovereignty and in how merciful he is. And I want to just take a quick minute and add a few other thoughts onto that of who our God is. Why it's important for us to recognize who he is, especially when we pray. Listen, Fusion, prayer is powerful because God is powerful. Prayer is intimate because God is intimate. He is a personal God. Prayer is not shouting at a distracted deity. Prayer is not like tweeting at a celebrity, hoping they read your tweet and maybe will respond to it. But we think that about God sometimes, don't we? It's like, man, he's really busy up there. I'm just gonna throw this his way, and hopefully he takes, you know, he sees it, and maybe he'll even respond back to me. No. Prayer is approaching a God who the Bible says is the lover of our souls. And it's entering boldly and with confidence into a place knowing he is willing and able to respond and move in our lives. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Listen, we walk boldly into places where we feel like we belong. When you're walking into a space filled with your friends, a space you've been before, you'll walk differently into that space. You walk boldly into that space versus a place where you don't know anybody, you've never been there before. You won't walk there nearly as boldly. And the author of Hebrews here tells us that because of what Jesus did for us, we can now approach God's throne with boldness and with confidence. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament was taken to the throne room of God. And what he saw there is this intimidating and intense scene where Isaiah is shook by what he sees. He can't even handle what he sees in this moment because of the power and because of the majesty of God. Well, listen, God hasn't changed. He is the same God. But because of what Jesus did for us, because of what he did on the cross, when you trust in him, you are now able, I am now able to approach God's throne in a different way. To approach God's throne with boldness and with confidence. Where Isaiah was standing before the throne of God and said, I don't even belong here. I shouldn't even be here. Jesus now says to us, no, you do belong here. You are welcome here at this throne. You can come with boldness and with confidence knowing that your loving and powerful Father, he cares about what you're going through and he is willing and able to help you. To be anxious for nothing, we need to learn or we need to be reminded maybe of who our God is. He is our heavenly Father who welcomes us into his presence, especially, hear this Fusion, especially during times of great anxiety. Man, when we are anxious, when we are fearful, when we are just bound up by this, those are the moments I feel like I hear God say to me most, you are welcome here. You can come here boldly. Lift your head up. You don't got to walk in here with your head down. You can come boldly to my throne with confidence because I've got everything that you need in this moment. Don't forget that Paul, he instructs us to be anxious for nothing from a prison, okay? And just think about that for a minute. Paul, the guy who persecuted followers of Jesus, who literally threw followers of Jesus in jail because they followed Jesus, has now himself landed in jail. Why? For following Jesus, for preaching Jesus. The same thing that he threw people in jail for once upon a time, he is now in jail for himself. And jail at this time, it was not a pleasant place. But we got to remember, this wasn't the first time Paul had been in jail. Paul was in jail before. We read about it in the book of Acts. He was put in jail for preaching about Jesus. And while he was in prison, It says that he prayed and he worshiped God. He remembered who God really is. And as he prayed and as he worshiped God, the Bible says there was an earthquake. And the doors of the jail literally swung open. And the chains that had him bound fell off of him. And he walked free. Well, Paul now finds himself in jail again. And while these particular chains hadn't yet fallen off, Paul still remembers who his God is. He remembers how this is the God who saved him before. He remembers how his God is a God who draws near to us during times of great anxiety. He remembers that when he prayed, his God responded like a loving father who gave him everything he needed in that moment. And even though these chains had not fallen off yet, Paul continues to pray. Paul continues to worship. He continues to remember who God is. And that's where he instructs us to be anxious for nothing from. How could he tell us to be anxious for nothing? Because he remembers what his God has already done for him. And it doesn't mean that he denies the situation that he's in. He doesn't pretend like everything is fine. I feel like sometimes we think that's what faith is, right? Faith is just pretending like everything is fine. How you doing today, man? I'm good. Got a lot of faith. Picked up my shield of faith this morning. I'm good. Really? Because I know about some stuff. It seems like you're going through a really hard time. No. Got a lot of faith. I'm good. Listen, faith, it doesn't deny the hard things in our lives. But it does look over those things and remembers the eternal truth about who our God is. But that doesn't mean we pretend like everything is fine. Faith is being honest with what's worrying you and living in the hope that we have in Jesus. Faith is both of those things together. Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe." The name of our Lord is a strong fortress. And I feel like sometimes when I am so anxious, when I am so stressed out, I'm all wrapped up in all of the stuff that I have going on in my life, and I'm just running around like crazy. Sometimes I feel like God just gets really close to my face and looks at me and he says, "Say dada." And I say, "I don't want to say dad. I'm a grown up. I got to fix this stuff. I just got to handle all this stuff. I just got to get through vision night. I just got to preach that next sermon. I got to get that next volunteer team together. I got to get my college class schedule figured out. I got to get my financial stuff figured out. I got it. And I feel like God just gets real close and says, "Say dada. Do you know who I am? I'm your dad. I've got this." I feel like when I recognize and remember just who our God is, so much of the anxiety that I live with falls away. Dad is a strong fortress. Dad's a strong fortress I can run to. Dad is able. Dad is aware and concerned with this. Dad is capable. Dad is in control. When we pray, we remind ourselves of who our God really is. Next, Paul instructs us to tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. And listen, we can't do this enough, and I don't do this enough. In moments where I feel like I encounter anxiety, my first inclination is always to run to, what do I need to do to fix this thing? What do I need to put on my to-do list so I can check this off, so I can handle this thing? And if I can't take care of it, I begin to run through my mind of who do I have in my life that can take care of this? Can I go to Blake? Can Blake help me with this? Can I go to some bosses at work? Can they help me with this? Do I have some family members I can go to who will bail me out of this situation? And I feel like the whole time God is looking at me and just saying, hey, say more. Say please. James 4:2 says, "You want what you don't have. So you scheme and you kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take away from them. Yet, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Listen, we don't become anxious for nothing by trying harder to be anxious for nothing. You will never pull yourself out of your anxiety by your own bootstraps. And trying to do so is just going to leave you more frustrated and more anxious than when you started. We have a God who wants us in prayer to bring him the things that we need, to bring him the things that are making us anxious, to bring him the things that are worrying us so deeply in our souls. He is not caught off guard by them. Psalm 139, you know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. God doesn't hear our requests, hear us bringing him the things that we need and say, what? You need money again? I just gave you money last month. What'd you do with it? Like, I bought a lot of coffee with it. He doesn't say, you're in a relational mess again. What am I going to do with you? You're stressed out about finals again? Come on, you knew they were coming. Anybody grateful he doesn't shame you when you come to him needing help with something? Do you know that God is already listening to you? He's already watching over you. And that's what's so unique about the God of Christianity, about the God of the Bible. He's not some distant deity, not concerned with what people are going through. In Psalm 144, it says, oh Lord, what are human beings that you should notice them, mere mortals, that you should think about them? The author of this is just in awe saying, I can't even believe that you, God, would even be aware of what I am going through. Blake and I have two children who are toddlers and a third on the way coming in April. We're excited about that. But our two babies, Austin and Shepherd, they're in the same room in the nursery. And there's times where at night, they'll be asleep for a little bit, and then one or sometimes both of them will wake up at some point during the night. And they're getting to the age where they're starting to be afraid, to be scared, to be worried when they wake up. Austin is becoming more and more aware of monsters these days. And so there's times that they'll wake up, they'll be scared, they'll be anxious, they'll be worried, and they'll call out. They'll cry for help. They'll call mom, they'll call dad, because they're scared about what's in this room that they don't know about. What they don't know, though, is that we have two monitors in that room. We have two cameras. We have a little screen that's never more than 3 or 4 feet away from us at any time while they're in bed. They don't know that I already know everything that is happening in that room. I'm aware of it all the time. And if they have a request of us, we'll get it for them. If they're asking for water, we'll get them a drink of water. I will say they're getting to the age now where they're learning that if they ask for water, they stay up just a few minutes late. I feel like they're playing us a little bit sometimes. But I'll still go get them water. All they have to do is call out and ask, and we respond. Paul instructs us to pray. And as we pray, we remind ourselves of who our God is. And then we ask for what we need, knowing he is already aware of it ahead of time and he is ready to respond. He is ready to move on our behalf. Finally, Paul tells us this. Thank God for all he has done. And Alex and the team, you can join me up here. Thank God for all that he has done. Having a heart of gratitude will lead us to having less anxiety in our lives. Because saying thank you is a reminder that I didn't do this in the first place anyways. If you say thank you, you're recognizing somebody else did something for you. Saying thank you, being grateful, it reminds us that we don't have to be in control of every single part of our lives. And we don't have to make everything happen in our lives. So when I say thank you for things, when I'm grateful to God for things, I remind myself of that. When I say thank you to God for my children, I am reminded these are a gift from God, even when they don't seem like it at some moments. These kids, they are a gift from God. When I thank God for this community and Fusion, I thank God for you every single day. When I thank God for Fusion, I am reminding myself, God is at work in this place. God is doing something amazing in this place. And because I'm thanking Him for what He's doing, I remind myself, I'm not the one doing any of this. Therefore, I don't have to be anxious about what's going to happen next. God's already got this. He's already at work in this place. When we thank God for 253 people saying yes to Jesus this last week, I remind myself that is God's work. He is drawing them. His Spirit is drawing people. I don't have to get anybody saved. I can't save anybody. God is at work doing those things. When I thank God for the finances He provides for us, man, that is why tithing and giving is so important, Fusion. Because when you tithe, when you give, you are saying thank you to God and you are reminding yourself, all that I have is from Him. And because He's given me all that I have, I don't need to be anxious about where it's going to come from next. The simple daily things. Blake and I, we pray and thank God for every meal that we eat. It's a simple reminder. God, you provided this. Therefore, I don't have to be anxious about where my next meal is coming from. You're in control of this. And I love that Paul, he says for us to ask Him for what we need and then thank Him for what He's already done. And this is a little counterintuitive for many of us. Listen, if I'm asking somebody for something, I like to butter them up first, right? I want to flatter them. It's like, hey, you look good. Have you been working out? You look like you've been working out. I really like that outfit you're wearing. That's a good outfit. Man, I really like that pickup truck you have. Could you help me move on Saturday? It'll just be like 8 or 9 hours and there's gonna be donuts. Like, Paul tells us that God does not need to be flattered first before He'll respond to our prayers. He doesn't want us to flatter Him. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to trust in Him. To get on our knees and ask Him for all of the things that we need in our lives and then stand up with hearts full of thanksgiving, thanking Him for the things that He's already done in our lives, reminding ourselves that we didn't do it before, so we're not responsible for making it happen next. Gratitude will take you far in life, including moving us on from a place of anxiety where we might find ourselves. Because we're constantly reminding ourselves of who our God is, of how good He is, of how caring He is, of how powerful He is, of how aware of our situations He already is. And when we pray, when we remind ourselves of who our God is, when we ask Him for what we need in our lives, when we thank Him for the things He's already done in our lives, that, Paul says, that is when we will find ourselves living in a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so as we prepare to worship one more time and close, I just want to ask you, in fact, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to give you a moment to just reflect. Maybe you need to recognize, either for the first time or once again, who our God is. Do you need to be reminded of who God is tonight? Do you need to be reminded that He is your heavenly Father who knows you and loves you? That He is the all-powerful creator of all things who also welcomes us to walk boldly up to His throne? Do you need to be reminded of His mercy tonight, of His faithfulness tonight? God, would you remind us of who you are, that we might pray to you with boldness and confidence? Do you have any needs that you need to bring before God right now? What anxiety are you holding on to? Are you trying to fix? Are you trying to take care of that you need to just say, God, would you help me with this? And finally, is there a place in your life where you need to say thank you for what God has done? God, I'm feeling anxiety about how this thing will turn out, but now I remind myself what you've already done, and I say thank you. Thank you for how you showed up before. Thank you for how you were faithful before. Thank you for that prayer that you answered, because it gives me confidence to offer you this next prayer that I have for you. What do you need to thank God for tonight? So, Lord, we pray that as we do these things, as we pray, as we remind ourselves of who you are, as we bring our requests before you, as we thank you for the things that you have already done for us, Lord, I pray that you would help us all to discover, to step into, to begin living in a peace that surpasses all understanding, because that is what you have for us. Jesus, we remind ourselves that peace is what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you guys stand with me? Alex, will you lead us?